want to talk about this topic, the Shem Shmo discussed it in Pashas Kiseitse. Rashi brings down that the mitzvah of the honest weights and measures called midos, that you have a scale. The scale should be, and you're selling things, you put things on the scale to weigh them, it has to be honest. And if you don't, God forbid, there's a los haset. It's a los haset, a cheat. Besides, it's a gazela, but there's a separate aveva to have dishonest weights. You're not even allowed to own such a thing. In other words, if a guy has a scale which, for weighing, let's whatever, potatoes or this, he's a. Even if he doesn't use it, just the fact that the scale is not calibrated properly, and that if he would weigh things, it would be a bad weight. It's an aveira to own such a scale. Lo yilecha, the Torah says. There's a special aveira the Torah has about bad scales or false measures. Right. And somehow, it's near the psukim about having a war. So Rashi says that there's a connection. If the Jewish people have bad midos and mishkolos to have, they're violating this aveira of bad measurement, bad scales and measures, then they're going to have wars. That's going to create a punishment from Hashem, that we're going to have melchama. It's very interesting. In other words, if there's cheating going on in the society, the Jewish society, financial cheating, that's going to cause enemies to attack us. It needs somewhat of an explanation. Okay, so that's not bad aveira, and enemies is a kind of a punishment, but why this? Usually the Gemara says that Hashem punishes people, midah keneged midah, the way they sin, that's the punishment, is a similar type of thing. So how is the milchama with the sone, with the oyev, connected to midos and mishkolos chaseros? If they have bad midos and bad mishkolos, which is an alotase, you get the mechama with the enemy. What's the midah connected midah? What's the connection of the two things? Okay. So he says a word. It's like this. He says in the Torah, we have two types of, let's call it challenges, or two types of platforms. One platform in the Torah is mutter asa. Something is permitted, something else is prohibited. So that's like almost like a black and white type of situation. We have to know things which are permitted and know the things which are not permitted. So that's one level of operation. Now, another level of operation is two things are permitted. Two things are permitted, but the Torah would like me to take one over the other. That's what we call areas of reshus. It's not, we're not dealing here with something prohibited, we're dealing with two permissible things, but the issue is, and says my mother, give her a mazel tov. Hello?
Yeah, who is this?
Yeah, this is Hashem. I want to tell you, we have a double mazel tov.
WhatsApp groups. You should have a sheer WhatsApp group. Mm-hmm. Should I give you my number now?
So, in areas where both choice is a choice of mutter and mutter, permitted and permitted, still, sometimes the Torah has what we call a preference. But it's not a black and white. What do you mean?
Is there an example of that? Give us an example.
Let's have an example of two permitted things, and it's a question of a choice. Let's say career. Let's say there's a question of what career should I go into. Both, I could be a doctor, I could be a lawyer. Both are permitted. So when I make that choice, it has to be from a Torah perspective. That when you make that choice, you're using Torah values as part of your thinking how to make the choice. Or let's say, where are you going to live? Which neighborhood are you going to live? This neighborhood, that neighborhood, all neighborhoods are permitted. But you should use a Torah thinking values to decide which neighborhood. There's, in other words, the point is that there should be some type of Torah perspective which a person uses to make these voluntary choices. Otherwise, if we wouldn't say that, it would turn out that the Torah only functions in a limited sphere, in this limited way, where the Torah says black and white, mitzvah, do this, or the Torah says black and white, don't do that, then it's where the Torah becomes operative. But if the Torah doesn't say anything, do it or not to do it, then it's up to me, then it means I'm not, that the Torah wouldn't be a factor in these other things. So that would mean that I'm not going to be living 24 hours, 7 days a week in total Torah life, because the whole area of Rishus would be just personal, nothing to do with the Torah. So the point of the Shemesh Shmuel, and also a lot of the other Jewish philosophers, this is not just Hasidus, this is general Jewish philosophy, Rambam, Bechaya, Ramchal, I mean, almost all Jewish philosophies, Ramban, Chumash, a few times, almost all the Jewish philosophers say that the Torah is not a system just of do's and don'ts, it's also a system of recommended choices in areas where both sides are permitted. There's a recommended choice for you that you should make. Now, how are you supposed to figure out if the Torah doesn't spell it out, do this or don't do that, but I'm still supposed to use Torah thinking to make this kind of voluntary choice, the issue is, how am I supposed to know where the Torah is guiding me in this voluntary choice? How am I supposed to know this? If it's a black and white thing, I can look it up in the Shulchan Aruch. It says, do this, don't do that. I know, it says. But if it's not in Shulchan Aruch, how am I supposed to gauge this preferred Torah choice? So he says that requires some kind of sense. A person has a sixth sense, a Torah intuition, where he can evaluate it using Torah values, and at the end, his Torah evaluation leads him to make a certain choice, which is the correct choice, based upon his system. So in other words, he has to be called like a judge. He has to look at the situation, judge it with Torah, from a Torah perspective, and say, based on Torah perspective, I should do this, not do that. It's some kind of a judgment that a person has to make using Torah thinking, which is not the do and don't, black and white, Shulchan Aruch type thinking. It's a type of intuition, general values, which you think will have something to say about the choice. Torah values. Okay, so he says, so how do you pick up this, how is a person supposed to figure out to pick up this Torah way of judging and evaluating choices, which are both permissible, to know which of them is the right choice from a Torah point of view for me? It means I have to become sort of like a judge, and I have to judge the situation and then decide that the Torah is telling me to do it this way. So the first thing is that we see in the Chumash that the Torah emphasizes that judges must be very honest. A judge cannot be a liar. He cannot be a phony, because then he's not going to be a good judge. The Torah always wants Mitvash Sheker Tichach. The first thing the Torah says, the judge has to stay away from lying. Or like in this pasuk, you're not allowed to have cheat people in business, have bad weights or bad measures. So someone's going to be a cheater in business, means that he has a streak of lying. He's never going to be able to be the judge to figure out for himself what's the right Torah way of doing things, and things which are not black and white, because he himself is a dishonest person. He's not a fair judge to other people. He's dishonest, so vis-a-vis himself, he won't be able to be honest. He'll lie to himself. He'll come up with reasons why he should do something which is really a lie, because he will deceive himself. If he's a person who has this streak of being a cheat and a deceiver to other people, he'll do the same thing to himself. So how can he figure out the right choice if things are not black and white? He'll be able to know black and white. It says in the Torah, this, that. But things which are up to personal decision-making, he will never be able to do it the right way. That's what the Shema Shmuel says. So since every single one of us has to always make choices in the area of Rishus, in these freestyle areas, which we have to figure out for ourselves, it's not a black and white Shulchan Aruch question. So it might be very big lifetime questions. What career should I go into? Which neighborhood should I marry? Which girl should I marry? Doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch which girl. So it's a free choice. We have to make that choice with a Torah perspective, that my own Torah leads me to take this girl, not the other girl. It's a Torah choice. But it's a Torah choice which is for that individual person to figure out for himself. It's an amazing halacha here, amazing concept, that we have two parts of the Torah. We have the black and white part, which is a standard for everybody, do's and don'ts for everybody. And then we have the gray part of the Torah, which is very individual. Each person has his own message from Torah, how he should run his life or her life in the voluntary areas. Who they should marry, where they should live, what profession or job should they go into. All of these are personal decisions which the Torah is saying you can make using the Torah as your guide. Even though it's not black and white, you can figure it out from a Torah perspective. That's why, for example, I try to give certain lifetime ideas which are not Shulchan Aruch, not black and white. It's just Torah ideas. Like I say to the guys, when you're looking for a wife to get married to, we advise always take a girl who's more frum than you, more religious. Don't take a girl less religious. Always take one more religious, maybe at least as religious as you would, probably should be better more. Why do I say that? Because from life experience, we know that the woman sets the standards of the religiosity of the family. She sets the standard. If she's more religious, he'll go along with her. Shalom. He'll go along with her, and he'll become more religious. But bring it. You with us? So bring the chair up here. Put it right next to the desk. And what's your name, by the way?
Noam.
We're talking about making decisions from the Shem Shmuel Chassidus. We do Chassidus every day. Making decisions in areas which are not black and white in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch gives us a lot of laws, do's and don'ts. That's a black and white. But there's a whole area of life where there's no black and white in Shulchan Aruch. I have to decide, who am I going to marry? What's my profession going to be? Where am I going to live? The big lifetime decisions are not black and white. But those decisions also have Torah. They also have a Torah perspective how to make them. There's Torah messages which tell you, me, you, everybody, how to make these choices. If we don't make the choices with Torah, we're not fulfilling our obligation to be real religious Jews. Our religious Jews perspective is that everything we do comes from a Torah. If it's a do and a don't, for sure, and even a voluntary, it's something where the Torah has guidelines, and I have to live those guidelines for me. Now, my choice is, what's amazing here is that there's a Torah for everybody, that's the Shulchan Aruch, do's and don'ts for everybody, and then there's a Torah for each individual person, his or her Torah. The Torah tells him or her what to do in these three choices. So, for example, I'm giving you a general personal advice that I believe that when you make your decision to get married, always take a girl who's at least as religious and better than that, is more religious than you, because she will bring you up to her level. If she's below you in her religion, she'll probably bring you down. That's what we know from the life thing, that the woman, Eric, put the chair right. So a woman has more to say about the religious level of the house than the man, because the woman's in the house all the time. So she, if she's more religious, you'll be more religious. If she's less, you'll be less. So it's a very wise thing to do. Always, if let's say, you know, you meet girls, you can tell very quickly if a girl is more or less religious than you. It's very easy to tell, especially nowadays, the way they dress. It's very easy, you can tell. If she covers her knees, she's probably more religious than you. If she's showing too much over the knee, she's probably less religious than you. It's very easy to tell with dress styles and so on, b'chlau, how they talk, what they talk about. So that you can tell right away. So if you see a girl that's less religious, no point in flirting with her. What point? It's not going to lead to marriage. Because you can't marry someone less religious than you. You're not even going to start talking to her. So right away, you're making a free choice decision based on Torah. Let's say later on, it's a question which neighbor to live in. Do you want to live in a neighborhood just full of non-Jews, or do you want to live in a neighborhood full of religious Jews? It's a no-brainer. Of course I want to live in a neighborhood which has more religious Jews, because this way, the whole atmosphere around me is going to support my religion, my Torah and mitzvahs. There are shuls, there are people I can learn with, b'chlau in the streets, give me a religious feeling. I see a Shabbos, I go out, people are walking with their children. I live in a non-Jewish place, there's Shabbos, cars and noise and b'chlau, different kinds of people. So I make that free choice based upon Torah values, which are for me. I'm giving you things which are writing for everybody. When you pick a place to live, try to live with more religious Jews. You pick a wife, take a woman who's more religious than you. I think it's for everybody, this idea. profession is more individual. You have to decide, you know, because that. But in general, it would, you have to. You should take a profession which is honest. You have to make sure, like this is the pasuk we're talking about, that there's a special aveira in the Torah to be dishonest in business, to be a cheater. Don't do anything which involves cheating. You're violating this law in the Torah. Yeah, I can't. Anything which involves dishonesty. I had yesterday a very funny conversation with a very old Talmud of mine. He's way back. Long old Talmud. Anyway, unfortunately, this fellow is 50 years old, never got married. So he calls me up on the phone. He says he met a girl who's 30. He looks very young, this guy. She said, she asked him how old he is. He says, I'm 40 and I'm over 40. So the girl said, no, I think maybe, you know, it's in my range. So I said to him, I'm sorry, you're 100% wrong. You lied to her. You deceived her. You should have told her I'm 50. He says to me, Rebbe, there's a rabbi around the corner, a big time chacham, and he said I should lie. I said, he's not his opinion. My opinion is cheating in life, it will boomerang. You're cheating, you're telling her a lie, it's going to boomerang. Not worth it. Not worth it. Tell the truth. So, that's not this stuff. This is a life, again, freestyle. It's no black and white in Shulchan Aruch. Doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch. Does any place Shulchan Aruch says you must tell your wife your exact, your girl you're dating, your exact age? Doesn't say. I didn't Shulchan Aruch. So, yeah.
What's the pasuk in? What's the pasuk language?
Lo yilcha mita chaseva. That's the pasuk in Kiseis. You shouldn't have a false weight. You shouldn't own it, such a thing. In other words, there's a prohibition even to have something which could lead to cheating. Of course, it's prohibited to cheat on the weight. It's you're selling potatoes. And the weight, the scale is tilted in your favor, so the guy winds up paying more money. That, of course, is prohibited. That's real stealing. But you can't even own such a weight, because maybe you'll use it. The Torah says if you own it, you violate the Lotz Aseh. If you own the scale, which is imbalanced. So you see, the Torah is very strong against cheating. Even putting yourself in a situation which tempts you to cheat. Now, this is black and white. To have a bad scale. But throughout life, you make decisions. Am I going to go into a field which this field is tempting me to cheat? Or should I go to a field where I don't have that temptation? So again, I think, and generally speaking, you should pick a field. Now, you can make that decision. If you know that you are a really honest guy, and these temptations to cheat in this particular field, you're going to be able to handle them, so fine. Let's say you're an accountant. An accountant is the field which tempts cheating. It's the bread and butter of the field that there's a lot of potential to cheat. So if a guy is very, very honest, he's very strong and honest, and he knows that he will be able to control himself on these temptations, and he has other reasons why he wants to be an accountant, other reasons, good total reasons. Let's say he likes the fact that most of the year, except the tax season, but most of the year, it's a nice, normal, you punch the clock in the morning, you come in at 9, you go home at 5, and you have a lunch break, it's a quiet job the whole year, except for tax season, 1 month, you go crazy. So, he liked, and it's a nice income, so he can support his family, and send the kids to the yeshiva. So he has good total reasons why, but he knows that he can control the temptations of cheating, so fine. Someone else, though, who knows he has a weakness in cheating. He's the guy who'll tell the girl that I'm 40 when he's really 50. Or he's the guy on a test in the college, if there's a guy and he doesn't know a question, the guy next to him, he'll take a peek at his paper to see. He knows that he has this weakness.
He should never be an accountant, because he's going to fall into all the problems of cheating, which are there all the time. He should rather be something else. Computer programmer, something else that doesn't involve this temptation. So, when you make your decisions, that's the point. Point is, there is Torah value and thinking which goes into all of life's freestyle, voluntary decisions without Shulchan Aruch saying, yes, do or don't. There's a Shulchan Aruch, which is for everybody, and then there's a personal, individual Torah for me. I decide using Torah to do something or not to do something. And this is a very, very important point. This is extremely important. This idea that the Shem Yishmor, and as I told you, all the Jewish philosophers that I've seen all say the same thing. Rambam, Rebbe Bechaya, Ramchal, all the great Jewish thinkers, Maharal Prague, all the great Jews can say the Torah is for every situation, not just black and white do's and don'ts. Every situation I'm in, there's a Torah message, a Torah value, how to deal with it. And I just have to be very, he points out, the Shem Yishmor, he's pointing out, you have to be a very good judge to figure out what is the message that you should use in any particular situation. It's very difficult because many of these situations, which are freestyle, voluntary areas, you get emotionally worked up about. I'm getting emotional about this. And emotions are not logical. And if I have to be a judge, I have to be objective. I can't let emotion, you know, color me. That's what's one of the biggest problems in this area of what we call making the right decisions in the shus, in the freestyle part of life, is the logic and emotion. The logic of it is very, for example, I talk to someone else, it's much easier for me to tell them logically what I think makes more sense for him in a situation. Talk about myself, well, my emotions are all worked up. I can talk to myself from today till tomorrow, but my emotions are turmoil, and they're motivating me to do things which might be wrong, might be very wrong. So, I'm not saying it's easy. It's a difficult challenge. It's a very difficult challenge to be able to freestyle life with Torah. But it's part of the challenge of living, being a Jew. So he says an interesting zach. He says that the Rashi points out that if Jews are cheating on measures and weights, then they will be attacked by enemies. There'll be wars against them. What's the connection? Because usually punishments are mida keneged mida. You get a punishment for a certain sin, it's usually connected as a logic. What's the logic that if people are cheating, they will be attacked by enemies? He said like this, he says, in general, you know that whatever happens in this world is a reflection of what's going on in the other worlds. So, every nation, that's a pasuk in Daniel, every nation has an angel in heaven that argues its case. There's an angel for the United States, and there's an angel for Russia, and there's an angel for the Arabs. They're all arguing up in heaven. There's a court of all the nations, like a UN, and they're arguing, my nation, your nation. Everybody there seems to gang up against the Jews. Why? Because it seems that Hashem is prejudiced for the Jews. He gave the Jews the Torah, he gave us the land of Israel, he gave us a base of Mikdash. He's prejudiced. And in many ways it shows that the Jews seem to be getting preferential treatment. You know, there was just a survey recently of the 100 richest people in the world. So I think in the 100 richest people in the world, 25 are Jewish. But only 0.1% of the world's population. We're 25% of the richest people in the world. Or 25% of Nobel science winners are Jewish. Only 0.1% of the world's population. Why are we 25% of the greatest scientists? So there seems to be, we're getting an extraordinary amount of blessing. Hashem is taking care of us in some special way, giving us extra brain power, somehow, extra luck in business, somehow. So the other nations, they're angry, say, why is this? It's not right. Why should the Jews get preferential treatment in heaven, and they get all these blessings, and we don't get this? That's their claim. That's the claim. So he says that the answer to this is as follows. The Gentiles, let's say it's a good Gentile nation. So they do the right things and don't do bad things. They're against murder, they're against stealing, and they're against illicit sex. And it's a nice nation. But they only do the do's and the don'ts, which are black and white in the seven mitzvahs. But the things which are freestyle, they will never use any kind of Torah vows. Freestyle, do whatever you want. They're not going to do that. The Jews use the Torah 24/7. The Jews use the Torah for the freestyling. That's what he wants to claim. He says, for example, Bilam was the prophet of the nation. So he represents the attitude that the nations have. What does he say? He says, Lo uchalavo es pi Hashem. God says it, I have to do it. But things which God never said, black and white, do whatever I want. He says, that's an attitude which is not Jewish. The Jewish attitude is, whatever I do has to be something I think Hashem wants me to do. So that's what this pasuk is telling us. This pasuk is saying, if you're a cheat, means you can't be honest in business, means you can't be honest to yourself either. You're not going to be honest in making the right decisions in life. You're going to be dishonest. You're going to be lying to yourself. Therefore, because of you and other people like you, then you're not better than the other nations. You'll do the do's and don'ts. You keep Shabbos, but otherwise you're a cheat. The do's and don'ts you'll do, but you're not going to do things which are beyond the letter of the law. You don't have any Torah in you to freestyle life. So then you're like all the other nations. Then they can attack you. That's what he says. That's when they can attack you. So he says that really, we're getting to Yom Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, he says, not enough that we make a commitment, we keep the black and white do's and don'ts. It's not enough. We have to be able to tell Hashem that we're doing more than the do's and the don'ts. We are making decisions all the time trying to use the Torah thinking in every area. Then we can, that will give us the special merit to get the right judgment on Rosh Hashanah. Hashem will see that Jews are trying to use Torah always. Then he gives them a blessing for the new year. Just the do's and don'ts is not good enough. It's very interesting, Shem Shmuel, and I think it's, even though, as I said, this concept is not the Hasidic. This concept is all the whole Torah, the Jewish, all the Mefarshim, all the Jewish thinkers have said this is part of the Torah. But I think that the Hasidus emphasizes that. The Hasidus wants to emphasize to use the Torah in your freestyle voluntary areas. That's why they call themselves Chassid. Chassid means more than the din, more than the letter of the law. They're trying to come up with ways of making everyday life a spiritual journey, not just plain. So someone was telling me that a lot of the boys in the shir have background from Camp Hask, which, now you go in the summer, you could pick any place, any camp. Camp, this camp, A, B, C, D. But you chose camp Hask. It means you chose a camp where it's pure, extraordinary chesed to help unfortunate children. And someone was telling me also that in Camp Hask, he says, if someone can say that they have 5 minutes, they're not doing anything, then they're not a real good counselor. The real counselors in Camp Hask work every minute of every hour, the whole day and night. They're busy with their commitment. Now, that's a Devar Rishus. It's voluntary. No one, it's not a Shulchan Aruch. I should go to such a camp. Go to another camp. But someone who picks it means that he used the Torah to freestyle. In the area of Rishus, he decided that this is the way I want to spend my summer. I want to be busy day and night, 7 days, a whole week, helping unfortunate children. So that's a decision in freestyling, which the guy who did that, or the woman who did that, it's a Torah decision for you, in your Shulchan Aruch. It's your Shulchan Aruch, not written for the world, but for you. That gives us the zechus, he says, to beat Jewish enemies and to get Eretz Yisrael. That's the zechus that we have nowadays, that we were zocher, our people, to have the land of Israel, is because we have this, we'll call it the fifth. They know the Shulchan Aruch has four sections, so there's an expression that was bandied about what I'm talking about here. It's called the fifth Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch in areas of Rishus, the voluntary areas. It's the fifth Shulchan Aruch, not printed. You know it yourself what it is. You know it yourself. Shukarach.